Apparently I need something.
I don't know how it is today.
Appreciate it.
I don't know how it is today, but whenever I was in high school, I never really used my locker. I was in middle school, I used my locker in middle school. When I was in high school, I never really used it. And I guess that could cause a problem. At the beginning of every year, the school would issue us locks for our locker. And they would issue us combinations to those locks. And at the beginning of the year, I'd get my lock, I'd put it on my locker, and I would never use it again. And then at the end of the year, they would want those locks back. And that was the problem, because I would be like, what was my combination again? So that was a big problem. Never used my locker. I carried everything in my backpack. So my backpack was pretty heavy. The school I went to in high school, we had seven periods. So I had seven periods worth of books, worth of materials. I had PT clothes, workout clothes, because I was in ROTC. I had a lot of stuff because in order to be successful in school, well, you need to have the right materials, right? We all understand this. Whenever I was in school, and there'd be a test coming on Friday, and then Friday would come, and we all had our Scantrons and our number two pencils. There'd always be that one person who was like, hey, can I borrow a pencil? Like, we've known about this test for 3 weeks. Okay, so materials for school, they're essential. You got to have school supplies in order to be successful. Right, and parents understand this. Parents, back to school shopping occurs. Parents spend money on school supplies for their kids because they want their kids to be successful, right? And it's even worse in college. In college, you get school supplies. You'll grab a book, and you'll look at the price of that book. It'll be like $300, and you're like, what? Like, do I even need to go to class? The book is obviously good enough, right? So parents spend ridiculous amounts of money on their kids so their kids will be successful in school. And success in school is something that is very important. It is. But we all know that there is something that is more important, like being a child of God, right? So it's important to have academic success. It's important to have the school supplies that lead to that academic success. But tonight, I want to move beyond the backpack a little bit. Move beyond the backpack and talk about some things that young people need to take with them to school in order to be successful in their walk with Christ. Because school starts pretty soon. No one likes to hear that. I mean, parents like to hear that. Kids don't like to hear that. School starts pretty soon. So we're going to talk about some things that you need to take with you beyond the backpack that'll help you be successful in your walk with Christ. And this is going to be a long lesson. I'm 3 minutes in. I've got like 12 minutes left, so we'll see if we can't do this quickly. One of the things that you guys need to take with you beyond the backpack is humility. You know, we're all under this pressure, I guess, to be liked in the world or to be great, to for other people to like us. No one wants to be unliked. No one wants to be hated or looked down upon. We all have that pressure, and young people have that pressure too. When I was in high school, there were certain people who craved popularity, and they would do whatever it took to get that popularity. Now, there are Christians, young and old, who worry so much about being popular that they lose their souls in the process. And God has called us to be humble. Open up your Bible, Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 1. Every now and then in the Gospels, there comes a part where you read and you kind of like facepalm a little bit, and you're like, what were Jesus' disciples thinking? And this is one of those moments. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 1, it says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this child, he is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In this passage, we see that the disciples, they were wondering who's going to be the greatest, who's going to have the highest social status, who's going to have the most notoriety. And Jesus says, instead, you've got to be humble. And I understand that this situation in Matthew isn't exactly like young people in school who are looking for popularity, but the mindset is similar. So whenever you guys go back to school here in the next couple of weeks, remember that Jesus, he calls us to be humble. You know, it's okay if we're not liked by every single person. As a matter of fact, we're told that we're not going to be liked by everybody, right? 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 11, it says, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised then, brethren, if the world hates you." John tells us here that the world's going to hate us because we do the right thing. And they don't all the time. But you know what? That's okay if the world hates us. So what's something that you guys can take with you beyond the backpack to school that will help you in your walk with Christ? Humility. Another thing that you guys could take with you is knowledge. Now, this might seem pretty obvious, right? You go to school, got to have some knowledge. That seems pretty obvious. But I'm not talking about, I guess, knowledge in the typical sense, like 2 plus 2 equals 4. I'm talking about knowledge about your faith, or knowledge better, I guess, knowledge on how to defend your faith. This is something that we're called to do also. Let's go over to 1 Peter. We're moving quickly here. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start reading from verse 13. It says, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Peter here tells the people that people are going to persecute you. People are going to attack your faith, but always be ready to make a defense. See, you guys need to take knowledge with you to school so that you can defend your faith, because people are going to attack your faith also. You may go to natural sciences class where they're teaching you things and teaching you things very from a very one-sided point of view, and those things can cause you to doubt. Or maybe you might have a friend who's an atheist who's been talking to you about all the contradictions in the Bible or how God is not really a moral God. And those things might make you doubt. This is why you need to bring knowledge with you to school, because there will be attacks on your faith. And if you don't have the knowledge, then don't be afraid to ask. I mean, there are answers out there. There are some people who don't think that there are answers. There are answers out there. If you have doubts or questions about your faith, ask. You can ask Brent. You can ask Jeff. Well, Jeff's not here. You can text Jeff, and he might get back with you sometime eventually. Or you can ask me. You know, there are answers out there. So beyond the backpack, take knowledge with you to school. But that's not all. One more point, and then we'll be done. Beyond the backpack, what should you guys take with you to school? You should take godliness with you. Go ahead and go to my next slide. Thanks. Godliness. As you transition, I guess, as you get older and you're in high school and you go to college, you get more freedom. I mean, this is how it was when I was in high school. I didn't get a driver's license until very late, but I still had a lot of freedom when I was in high school. Every Friday after school, I'd get together with a bunch of friends and, you know, we'd have a fight night because we're boys and stupid. Right? No, a lot of us took martial arts. Some of us took jiu-jitsu, and we wanted to practice some things. And my parents weren't there. You know, I didn't have church members looking over my shoulder. Sometimes we'd go out and play airsoft, and you shoot at one another with airsoft guns because we're boys and we're stupid. But again, my parents weren't there. Church members weren't looking over my shoulder. And the same is true of you guys. You guys are going to have times. You're going to have more freedom. Your parents aren't going to be there, especially in college. Maybe you'll be living the dorm life. You're not always going to have someone looking over your shoulder. And in situations like this, it's really easy to put faith aside. It's really easy to look at other people and say, well, they're having fun. No one's really watching me. So I'm going to live like them. In these instances, we need to remember this idea of godliness. Now, what does godliness mean? I like to say that godliness means having the proper fear or respect for God. And that fear or respect or reverence, it impacts how we live. Here's the reason I define godliness that way. In the Hebrew Old Testament, there's a word that conveys the idea of the fear of the Lord or the reverence or respect of the Lord. And when the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew into Greek with the Septuagint, they needed to find a Greek word to convey that idea of the fear of God or the respect of God. And they used the word eusebia. You guys didn't know y'all were learning Greek tonight. But yeah, they used the word eusebia. And that word is translated godliness. So godliness, the idea behind godliness is having the proper fear or respect for who God is. And it impacts the way we live. I think of Joseph. I think of Joseph and his story. Let's go back there. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We're going to start reading from verse 6. This is one of Joseph's more popular stories. He had done very well in Potiphar's house. So Potiphar made him head over the house, essentially. Genesis 39, starting in verse 6. It says, So Potiphar left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came about after these things that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, as he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went to the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me," and he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. In this example with Joseph, we see that no one's looking over his shoulder. His parents aren't there. As a matter of fact, this text says the house was empty. None of the other servants were there. It was him and Potiphar's wife. Joseph, he could have done what he wanted, and no one would have known, because no one was looking over his shoulder. But what does he say in verse 9? He says, "How could I do this evil and sin against God?" See, Joseph is living this idea of godliness. He has the proper fear, reverence, respect for God, and it impacts how he lives. You see, there are going to be times when your parents, members of this church, Jeff, Brent, or I, there's going to be time where no one's looking over your shoulder. And you're going to have the opportunity to do right or to do wrong. And what will you do? Will you be like Joseph? I hope so. You know, it may seem like no one's looking over our shoulder, but we all know that in the end that's not true, and we're not fooling anyone, because God does know. So as you guys start school here in the coming weeks, take godliness with you to school. You know, there are a lot of things, I said this earlier, but there are a lot of things that we need in order, you guys need in order to be successful in school. What do you need to be successful in your walk with God? Well, if you're going to be successful in your walk with God, you need to look beyond the backpack and take some things that are truly important. Things like knowledge, things like humility, things like godliness. As a way of invitation, this isn't only for the, I've been speaking mainly to the young people here tonight, but as a way of invitation for all of us, maybe there's someone here who hasn't been living that. They haven't been living with the humility or the godliness, and maybe you've left the Lord. Well, if that's so, can I encourage you to come back to the Lord tonight? You know, I went out to eat with lunch with some people, and one of the guys asked me, you know, what makes preaching worth it for you? And I said, well, I get to uplift people. And the idea behind that is help people get to heaven. Because me, I don't like writing very much. I don't like writing sermons. You know, I like talking to people, so I like doing stuff like this, but I don't like writing. But being able to uplift people, help people be better, that makes it worth it. So maybe there's someone here tonight who hasn't been living according to God's will, and you know you should be. You can come back to the Lord tonight. Or maybe there's someone who hasn't started their walk with Christ, they haven't become a Christian yet, and you want to be. You want to subject yourself to God's will, you can do that tonight also. Whatever you need, come now as we stand and as we sing.